Well, Chandler Church and guests who are here today, we are entrenched on a journey as a body of believers and a family of faith to affirm the reasons we have for our faith. So many of us today who are Christians, who desire to share our faith and be faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ, are out there in the highways and the byways trying to share the Word of God, the Scriptures, and the truth of Jesus Christ's second coming with the world. But for those of you who are faithful in your work of witnessing, you know that unlike any time in Earth's history, it is so difficult to reach a secular, postmodern, atheistic America with the truth of God's Word. You know, as I go on the internet and I see chat rooms and forums and conversations between Christians and atheists, agnostics and skeptics, I realize that we are in an information age. And so much of the information out there is erroneous. Amen? We have to be careful by what we read and what we see and what we hear. And when I see Christians sharing their faith out on the internet, I see the virulent attacks that are coming against them. And they can't even get to first base in sharing their witness with people because people will say that God doesn't exist. They'll say the Bible is full of tall tales and that Jesus was not even an actual historical figure. There's so much information out there and so much misinformation that's leading many millennials, a whole generation, away from Jesus Christ. And so it is we as a Chandler Church who come here week by week and we share our faith and give our praise and thanks to Jesus Christ. We've been entertaining the reasons that we have to believe. Why faith is the most important aspect of our system of belief. God doesn't want us to have faith based on no evidence at all. Amen? There's a great deal of evidence for the reasons we have to believe. And we are entrenching, we are rooting ourselves in that evidence as Christian disciples that we can be more effective ambassadors for Christ and more effective witnesses for the truth of Jesus Christ and His second coming. But you know, over the course of the weeks that we've been studying this concept and this premise, do you know that this premise and this concept can all be undone very quickly? Very quickly, with one proof. It would only take one step to destroy or falsify Christianity. And we're going to explore that step today. Before we do, by a show of hands, has anyone not received a study guide here today? If you have not received a study guide, please raise your hand, and one of my deacons in the back will help you and serve you to make sure that you can follow along. I do encourage you to take out your study guide at this time and follow along with the sermon, so that these concepts, which are heavy and profound, and some of the quotations that you're going to receive and arm yourself with, you have retained in your memory. We'll pull out our study guide. And on our study guide for October 15, 2016, it's entitled Reasons to Believe, Part 9, Why We Should Believe in the Resurrection. Now, as we talk about all the reasons we have to believe, I've mentioned to you a moment ago that everything we believe as Christians can be destroyed and it can be falsified in one step. How, Pastor Shane, you might ask, could I destroy or falsify Christianity? Everything we've done to lay the foundation for the existence of God and God as a creator and evidence of God in our world, in our atmosphere, in our geology, in our body, everything that we profess in regards to Jesus Christ as being divine, it would take one simple step to destroy and falsify all of that. It's very easy. It's this, question number one in your study guide. You might say, Pastor Shane, how is it possible for Christianity to be destroyed or falsified in one step? It is this, just do this for us. This is all we ask as Christians, produce the body of Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, if you could show me the body of Jesus, if you could show me his tomb and his bones and his decomposed corpse, if you could show to me where Jesus buried and died and remains to this day, it would be a game over deal breaker. That's it. Everybody go home. Take back your tithe. Take back your Bibles. Put it away. Hope you kept the receipt. Throw it out. It would all be hogwash. But... friends of mine, the Bible tells me that an empty grave proves to me my Savior lives. Can you say amen today? In fact, the Apostle Paul spoke to us a long time ago, Chandler Church, and the Apostle Paul said this. He expressed to us that if the dead are not raised, then Jesus himself has not been raised. And Paul says this. This is question number 2 in your study guide. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. You know, today on the internet, we see that many atheists, agnostics, and skeptics, they pity us as Christians. And you see from the conversations and the dialogues how foolish Christians are perceived to be. And Paul says, if you could find and produce for me the body of Jesus, all of those sentiments would be correct. But because you can't, it is prima facie evidence number 1 that Jesus rose from the grave, ascended into the heavens, stands at the right hand of the Father, intercedes as our advocate. And friends of mine, you and I, by holding on to Jesus Christ in faith, we are going to live forever. Can you say amen? Question number 2 in your study guide, write this in, Chandler Church. What does the Apostle Paul base and cite as that which Christians hope and confidence hinges upon? It is this, the resurrection of Jesus. Write that in. Question number 2, letter A in your study guide today. You know, Chandler Church, as we reach mid-October, we enter into the heart of Halloween season. And at the forefront of monster mania this year and the past several have been zombies. In fact, as many of you would not know, because you don't watch TV, the number 1 show in America is The Walking Dead. A program that posits the end of the world occurring from the dead rising and taking over our planet in a horrific manner. You know, for every truth God has, the devil has a counterfeit. You know that, right? My Bible tells me, Chandler Church, that when the dead are raised, that's a glorious day. When the dead are raised, that's the good news and fulfillment. When the dead are raised, they're not zombie-like corpses with flesh falling off. Oh, no. They have new, brand new, brilliant, glorious bodies like Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. And when the dead are raised, that means Jesus has come a second time. Can you say amen today? When the dead are raised, it's not the walking dead. Oh, no. It's the flying righteous, because we're going to meet him up in the air. Hallelujah. It is good news, and the devil wants to deceive the world. And friends of mine, this good news is true news. When we look at the resurrection, we know that Christianity stands and falls on the resurrection of Jesus. As Seventh-day Adventists, those who hope and believe, Dave and Ricardo, in the second coming of Jesus Christ, all of it stands on the first coming of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And if Christianity stands or falls on the resurrection of Jesus, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, then Jesus is a liar. Further, his disciples and his apostles are all liars. And one way to end Christianity for all is just do this for us, produce his body. But friends of mine, the facts and the history and the scriptures suggest that that body's not going to show back up until it shows back up in glorious form on that special day. Here's the facts of the resurrection. Let's write this into our study guide today in our reasons to believe. Why do we go to church? Why do we have faith? Why do we have trust? Here are the key historical facts of Jesus' resurrection. Write this into your study guide. Question 3, letter A, Chandler Church. Jesus was murdered and, write this in, he was buried. He was buried. We know this from history. Letter B says this, 3 days afterward, his body went missing. Missing. Write that in, question 3, letter B. Question 3, letter C says, there were appearances of Jesus over the course of many days to various people, including his disciples, and write this in, unbelievers. Write that word in there. Question 3, letter C. Letter D, as we finish off question 3, says this. It says, Christ's appearances, check this out, Chandler Church, as it did for them, it should for us, it transformed his followers. Write that word in. Christ's appearances transformed his followers and some previous skeptics, with his resurrection becoming the central focus of their teaching. Now, Pastor Shane, you may ask me, those facts, are you sure those facts are historically verifiable? See, atheists, agnostics, and skeptics, they say too often, you Christians, you try and prove the Bible from the Bible, and that's circular logic. What you need to do to prove to me the facts that you state is to throw out the Bible and speak from history and science and reality. You Christians just come with your Bible, but we don't trust or believe your Bible. So let's go to the historical sources to see. This is Bart Ehrman, question number 4 in your study guide. University of North Carolina professor and agnostic, which means he doesn't know if he believes in God. He's not sure. But this he does believe, Chandler Church. He says this, write this in. One of the most certain, write that word, I like that word, right? One of the most certain facts of history is that Jesus Christ was crucified on orders of Roman prefect of Judea, Pontius Pilate. Can you say amen today? Now, Bart Ehrman doesn't have a dog in the fight. He's not a Christian. He's not a believer. He's an agnostic. He's a professor who has researched history, Elder Williams. And as he's researched history, he says one of the most certain things we know in history is that Jesus was in fact crucified under the orders of the prefect of Judea, Pontius Pilate. Another historical scholar, Dominic Crossan, says this. This is question 5, Chandler Church. He is a New Testament scholar and historian, John Dominic Crossan. He says this in regards to the historicity of Jesus. He says that Jesus was crucified is as, write this word in, sure as anything historical ever can be. Chandler Church, I don't know about you, but in my marriage, in my life, in my bank account, in my car, in my house, when I'm shopping for something, I want something certain, Ingram, and I want something sure. Amen? I want something solid and something I can count on. I don't want to do something just willy-nilly or halfway. I want to make sure that it's sure and certain. And Mr. Crossan tells us this, that as it pertains to all the things, Leslie and Lindy, we see and know from history, and the way we verify those things, that Jesus being crucified is as sure as anything historical can be. Let me ask you today, Chandler Church, are you sure about your Jesus? Are you sure about your faith? Are you sure about the reasons why you're a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? We want to be sure, amen? And there are reasons for us to believe. You know, as we look at all the reasons for us to believe, I like to have lots of documentation and verifiability. And one of the greatest sources are from these great minds at Oxford. And in Oxford, there's a church historian, a great mind by the name of William Wand. And Mr. Wand, as a historian, says this. He says, when we look at the evidence, all the strictly historical. So notice this. Mr. Wand says, we can take the Bible and we can put the Bible aside for just a minute and just, Chandler Church, look at the history. He says this, all the strictly historical evidence, this is question 6 in your study guide, we have is in favor of the empty tomb. And those scholars who reject it ought to recognize that they do so on some other ground than that of scientific history. Can you say amen today? So check this out. Mr. Wan tells us that when we look at history and how we verify people from history, when we look at the evidence from history, all the historical evidence is in favor of what the Bible says. And when scholars come to you on History Channel or some very awkward program and say, well, maybe Jesus did not really exist, it does not come on the basis of scientific history. By a show of hands today, how many of you have actually seen face-to-face Emperor Nero? By a show of hands. Hopefully no time travelers in the congregation today. By a show of hands, how many have seen Emperor Domitian? By a show of hands, not one of you, right? But we talk about these historical figures like Julius Caesar and all these men as if they are real, verifiable people in history. How do we do so? We follow a succession of information that verifies and corroborates statements to know that these men actually existed. It's called scientific history. And I think it's fascinating for all the atheists, agnostics, and skeptics who say, show me the science. Scientific history shows us that Jesus was real. Can you say amen today? And this professor says, if someone says to you, you Christian who are silly, you Christian who believe in Sky Daddy, you Christian who believe that Jesus was an actual figure, they're saying that on some other basis than all the way we've documented and verified all the real people throughout the ceaseless ages of time. Friends of mine, we can be sure about Jesus, we can trust in Jesus, and we have reasons to believe in Jesus' resurrection. If you believe that, please say amen today. Look at the evidence that the Bible gives us, that history attests to in regards to the appearances of Jesus. That when Jesus came from that tomb and displayed himself to his friends, his followers, and people who did not believe, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene in Jerusalem on Sunday, and then to other women on Jerusalem on Sunday in Matthew 28, and then to Peter on Jerusalem in Sunday on Luke 24, then to the Emmaus disciples on their road to Emmaus in Luke 24, then to the 10 disciples in Jerusalem on Sunday, then to 11 disciples in Jerusalem a week later, then to 7 disciples in Galilee, to 500 brethren in Galilee, to his brother James, to 11 disciples on another occasion, 11 disciples 40 days later in the book of Acts, and then Paul through Revelation in Acts chapter 9. Friends of mine, if someone is lying about the resurrection of Jesus, there are a whole lot of liars, folks. But alternatively, there are a whole lot of corroborating statements that suggest that what you have in this book, that what you read and you hold fast to in your faith as a Christian, it's something that is certain and sure. Can you say amen? You know, when I used to be a state trooper out on the road and I would work accidents, the first thing I would do when I would drive up to an accident, I would run out to the scene and I would check to see that everyone in the car was okay. And once I saw that everyone in the car was okay, the first thing I would do is say, you folks wait here, just hold on, wait one moment. And then I would run. I would run. And I would get all of the witnesses, because the witnesses would take off first. And I would get to the witnesses and I would say, sir, did you see what happened? He'd say, yes. I said, great. Could you please fill out this statement for me and sign your name? Ma'am, did you see what happened? Yes. Great. Could you please write that down and put your name? Ma'am, did you see what happened? Yes. Could you please write down what happened and please put your name? And I knew, friends of mine, if I had just 3 witness statements, oh, I had a conviction that would protect this dear family that was injured in the accident. How about if you have over 500? Say, we saw him. He came to us. He revealed himself and he proved that it was God. You have to be some sort of historical revisionist to try and change history and cover up that fact. And you know, Chandler Church, we are in a great controversy. And the devil wants you to trade in history for your VCR. He wants you to forget what's happened in the past and just watch The Voice and see who gets selected as the next coach. Friends of mine, this is, according to the scholars, historical science. Do you hear me today? That something grand occurred in the history of our planet. It stands and confronts us in the face, and you and I need to figure out what we're going to do with it. Something big happened, and as we know in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, something big is getting ready to happen again. Let's help make the world ready for Jesus Christ's second coming. Can you say amen today? Listen to what atheist historian. Atheist means I don't believe in God at all. Nope, won't do it. Hands off. Won't touch him. Atheist historian Gerd Ludemann. He says this. This is question number 7 in our study guide. He says, it may be taken as historically, write this word in, certain that Peter and the disciples had experiences after Jesus' death in which Jesus appeared to them as the risen Christ. Can you say amen? Listen, folks, this is a man who does not believe in God. But as a genuine practicing historian who looks at the evidence, he says this: it is certain that they had experiences in which Jesus appeared to them as the risen Christ. Now what happens, Elder Williams, is that some of these atheist historians, they do acrobatics. They may have said, well, there may have been a little bit too much something in the communion wine, but they had an experience, right? He acknowledges that history attests to the fact that there's something that occurred there. And he, although may deny the existence of God, he cannot, and I give him credit, deny the historicity and the reality of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Can you say amen today? Check this out. This is what Bart Ehrman says. He says, did some of the disciples claim to see Jesus after his crucifixion? This is question 8 in your study guide. Did some of them claim to see Jesus alive after his crucifixion? I don't doubt at all that some of them claim this. Paul, writing about 25 years later, indicates that this is what they claimed. And I don't think Paul is making it up. Neither do I, Chandler Church. How about you? And he knew at least a couple of them whom he met just 3 years after the event. Chandler Church, just like a frog on a river would hop from lily pad to lily pad, there's a succession of information that attests to the reality of Jesus Christ, and we can trace it all the way back to Jesus himself. We can link it through the testimonies. There's no fable, there's no myth, there's no tall tale, there's no gap. We can link it all the way back through all the individuals who had direct contact and exposure to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ showed himself to people, it was like today. If you and I say today, and we go out to the world or to the police or on news media and say, I saw Jesus Christ, do you think people are going to initially believe you? No. Does it matter? No. You be faithful to your testimony of Jesus, amen? Faithful like Sister White was, amen? You think people believed her when she started saying, I've had visions of Jesus? No, we lift her up and we trumpet her today and affirm her, but during her day, boy, she took some flack, you better believe it. In fact, they sent her off to Australia when she started preaching to men. She said, okay, all right, that's nice. We're going to send you on a trip, right? You all know your history, right? Same thing for the apostles. When they said the risen Christ has appeared to us, it was something controversial. And in fact, even more controversial was that their Messiah was crucified. In fact, Ben Worthington, the third historian, he says this, on any showing, the crucifixion of Jesus should have put an end to the Jesus movement once and for all in an honor and shame culture like early Judaism. When their hero died, we see this at the cross. It scattered them. The shepherd was struck and the flock was scattered, weren't they? They all went running. And it should have put an end to it and would have had Jesus Christ not appeared to them a second time. Had Jesus Christ not returned to them to affirm them and let them know that all of their belief, all of their faith, all of their trust was a worthy investment. And I say this to you, Chandler Church, for all of you who are struggling, for all of you who are battling, for all of you who are hurting, I promise you your strength and your trust in Jesus is a sound investment. Amen? You hold on to Jesus Christ. It's going to pay off in the end. Tenfold. Hold on to Jesus like those apostles held on to Jesus. And as they should have been shamed, many of them went to their death for Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, Chandler Church, but I'm not dying for a lie. How about you? No, I'm going to do something else. But all of them, all 12 were willing to lay down their life. John was the only one who was spared. Because Jesus had one more book left for him to write that the Seventh-day Adventist Church could expound upon to the world. But friends, you hold on to your faith too, because tribulation is coming again. You hold on to your Sabbath. You hold on to your church. You hold on to your Jesus who gave this message to you. Amen? You hold on because Jesus is coming again. When we look at all of those who were wounded and hurt and martyred for Christianity, we see what happened to Jesus' followers after his death, after they went out to proclaim the resurrected Jesus Christ. Tertullian, an early church father, wrote this in the 3rd century, right at the beginning, around AD 200. He says, at Rome, Nero was the first who stained with blood the rising faith. Then Peter was girt by another when he is made fast to the cross. We know that these martyrdom accounts aren't fictional. They're not false. They're not fraudulent tall tales. Because many of the early church fathers who historians acknowledge and verify say these things actually happened. And we know, Chandler Church, they will happen again. They will repeat. You get out and dust off those red books and you read your great controversy. Don't lose track of church history. Amen. The reasons for why we exist as a prophetic movement called by God to prepare the world for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And just as we prepare the world for Jesus Christ's second coming from our Bibles, we must, as Paul did, reason with the Greek philosophers on Mars Hill in Athens. Amen? Not just from the scriptures, but from our intellect and our knowledge and the mind of Christ that Christ has given to every one of us. I believe that every one of you here today are intelligent, discerning individuals. Amen? Who've made a sound decision to place their trust and their faith and their life in Jesus. Some of you, like my friend Sherman, has made tremendous sacrifices for the faith of Jesus. He's going to have a glorious crown when Jesus Christ comes again. Revelation says, don't let anyone take your crown from you. And Peter and all the early martyrs, they held on, they held fast to that faith, that crown of glory that was given. You hold on as well because there's reason for it. Can you say amen, Chandler Church? Eusebius, one of the earliest church historians recognized by modern church historical experts, he said this: what do we need to say concerning the Apostle Paul, who preached the gospel of Christ from Jerusalem to Illyricum and afterwards suffered martyrdom in Rome under Nero? These facts are related by Origen. For those of you who don't know Origen, he's one of the first church fathers. And Origen was one of the first. So Eusebius says Origen was directly connected, and he verified as well that the apostles testified to the resurrected Christ. Origen, in his commentary, mentions Paul. So you have thus, by such an admonition, bound together the planting of Peter and Paul at Rome and Corinth. For both of them planted and likewise taught us in our Corinth, and they taught together in like manner in Italy and suffered martyrdom at the same time. I have quoted these things in order that, what's that word, Seventh-day Adventist Church? The truth of history might be still more confirmed. These early church historians, and Eusebius, he wasn't part of the Christian movement. But I praise God that the Spirit of God moved upon that man to say, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Seventh-day Adventist Church, I entreat you as a minister of the gospel, tell the truth to the world. Jesus Christ is coming again. And all of the debates, all of the doubts, all of the dissensions, they don't hold up under investigation. The evidence you have for your faith is overwhelming, and all the unbelievers can do is resort to name-calling. That's fine. They did the same to Noah while he preached for 120 years that a flood is on the way. I tell you again, Chandler Church, I tell you, Leslie, a flood is on the way again. Tell the truth to the world. Amen? Here are the foundations we have for the undisputed facts. This is very sound evidence. Check this out, Chandler Church. There are multiple independent early sources that support the facts. There is attestation by enemies of Christianity that support the facts. We saw last week, we studied all the extra-biblical sources. That means sources outside of the Bible, who were not Christians, who affirmed that Jesus existed and worked miracles. And those people said, we admit he worked miracles. We don't know how he did it. He may have been a magician. He may have been a sorcerer. He may have had a demon. But he worked miracles. Even the enemies acknowledged. And the Bible says this, folks. It says this. It tells us, one day every knee is going to bow. I'd rather do it under the auspices of this roof during praise and prayer than in the judgment day. Do you follow me? follow the evidence and the testimony, if you're a sound, intelligent, discerning, reasonable person, we see that embarrassing admissions support the facts, like that of the Apostle Paul, who was formerly Saul of Tarsus and was persecuting Christians. He says, "Boy, oh boy, everything I was doing was wrong. I'm embarrassed and I acknowledge Jesus is the Christ and I saw him." Eyewitness testimony support the facts. Over 500 people saw Jesus. Early testimony, meaning it wasn't concocted 300 years later. You see sometimes folks in these movies put out like the Da Vinci Code, where people, these fictional authors say, well, the whole Bible was invented by the Catholic Church 300 years after Jesus. Foolishness. That's why Sister White told us to stay out of the theaters. Don't get your theology and your history from YouTube and the movies. Amen? Dangerous. In an information age, there's so much misinformation out there. Be intelligent, discerning, smart people, as many of these great minds of history done, and these great minds have come to the conclusion that they should place their faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to this great mind, N.T. Wright, one of the most brilliant New Testament scholars out there. He says this. He says that the proposal that Jesus was bodily raised from the dead possesses unrivaled, write this into your study guide, this is question number 9, unrivaled power to explain the historical data at the heart of Christianity. Why is Christianity still working, Gail? God asks. Because this man says there was power in the resurrection of Jesus. How many of us believe today that there's power in the name? Amen? That's why there's so many transformed lives up on this platform. So many people who have come out of the world. And that's what the church means in the Greek, ekklesia. Those who have been called out. And it's not just a call, it's the power of God that transforms our lives. Eddie? The power of God that makes us live like we are living. Can you say amen today? We've experienced that power and that presence in our heart that causes us to love, that overcomes our hate, that overcomes our fears, our apprehensions, our self-consciousness, our worry. The power of God which says, you're loved, you're valued, you're beautiful in my sight, and I have great plans in store for you. Otherwise, N.T. Wright says, this thing would have never gotten off the ground. Never. Never. Except Jesus. Jesus showed himself true, faithful, and strong. And Chandler Church, you hold on to your faith in Jesus, in your finances, in your marriage, in your house, in your home, in your work, in your battle with whatever demon you're hand-to-hand combat with, Jesus will show himself strong to you. Ellen White says the last days of this world's history are like the time of Jacob's trouble. And Jacob, he overcame not by his strength, his willpower, his fortitude, his devotional life. He overcame by saying, I will not let you go until you bless me. And my Jesus, my Savior, my brother, my King, my friend, he says, this guy gets it. And I want everyone to know this guy's faith, what this is like, because that's how you're going to get it as well. Amen? Not by our striving, not by our straining, but our holding on to the one who is strong, the one who loves us and gave his life for us and laid it down and freely gives us the power to have a new transformed life. I love my Jesus. How about you, Chandler Church? So Pastor Shane, with all of the evidence, with all of the evidence that points to the truth that Jesus was a historical figure, not only as we learned last week, but all of the historical testimony that says he rose from the grave, all of the historical testimony outside of the Bible, why do people still disbelieve? And I would submit to you, Chandler Church, it is this. The primary reason that this option is rejected by critics is that they have a anti-supernatural bias. They have an anti-supernatural bias and they rule out God in an a priori manner. That means they come to the table of study, prepared to study the evidence in the history. And they say, okay, I'm going to study, I'm going to listen to the evidence, and when I do, I'm going to come to the same conclusion that God does not exist. You ever know folks like that? When you go out and you witness, their hearts are hardened, and you can't get through to them. Don't let that happen to you, Chandler Church. Jesus is leading all of us on a journey, and day by day, each of us have challenges and pitfalls and character development that we're working with, things that God is trying to do and refine and lead us to truth. Do you know what that is? That's the unpardonable sin. You know that, right? When the Holy Spirit convicts you, and He shows you, and He reveals to you, and He makes it clear to you, and He preaches to you, and has people led to you, and you say, it does not matter. That's all cool, but look, I'm doing my own thing. Get to the point where you can't hear the Spirit of God anymore. And the Bible tells us, Paul tells us, it's one of the most fearful admonitions in Scripture. Because we do not have a love for the truth, that strong delusion comes upon us. You know that, right? We have to love the truth. Amen? We have to find the truth and the truth as it is in Jesus and trumpet that truth to the world, because the alternative is very, very dangerous. It's not a review of the evidence, but a commitment to naturalism that causes skeptics of the resurrection to exclude the resurrection hypothesis. What is naturalism? That means that everything we see and happen and taking place in our world, it has a natural explanation. We know why the flowers grow, because the seed is planted in the ground. Who made the seed? Who made the soil fertile? Who made the atmosphere? Commitment to naturalism says there's no supernatural explanation for why we hear. Life is not a miracle. Tell that to a mother with a newborn baby, huh? Huh, moms? I mean, we know how the plumbing works, but it's a miracle, amen? A miracle of God. Don't fall into that trap. You millennials, you are being targeted more than ever by social media, by the television, the internet, and movies, specifically against Christianity. And we've seen in a previous episode of our sermon series that pluralism is accepting of every world religion and every concept except Jesus. Isn't that awkward? Interesting how that works, isn't it? The devil has a harem of ideas that he allows to come in, all of them except Christianity, because he doesn't want you to find the narrow way. Amen? Check this out. Professor of history in Oxford. This is a pretty intelligent guy. Author of the 3-volume History of Rome, Thomas Arnold. This is question 10, your final question in your study guide. He says this in regards to his life and his tenure as a professor of history at Oxford. He says, I have been used for many years to study histories of other times and to examine and weigh the evidence of those who have written about them. And listen to what he says, Chandler Church, you Seventh-day Adventist, intelligent, discerning Christians. He says, I know of no, write this into your study guide, I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquirer than the great sign which God has given us that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave. That's not even in the Bible. I'll take it. Amen. This man says there's nothing with more evidence, nothing with more attestation, nothing with a sounder, stronger belief. This gentleman's from Oxford. He knows his stuff, folks. Can you say amen? Do you know your stuff? Do you know what you believe? Do you know that there's sound reasons for it? And you, friends, have made a good choice by being here today, and most importantly, by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? As we come to our conclusion, you know, one of the great apologists of our time, C.S. Lewis, he said this, if we admit God, must we admit miracle? Indeed, indeed. There is no security against it. That is the bargain. Friends of mine, we've got to get back to a church that believes not only in God, but in miracles. Amen? That our friend Grace can be healed, that Elder Velasquez can be healed, that our marriages can be healed, that people that were out in the world and out in the street, that they can come to the Chandler Church and they can be up in the Chandler Ensemble singing praises to God, because God is a God of miracles who transforms lives. You keep praying and keep pleading for your son. daughters. Keep praying and keep pleading for your neighbor, your grandchildren. God can do something great at 0 hour. Amen? If we believe in God, we must admit miracles. And this is why many of the historians want to wipe this out. They don't want you to know about the resurrection and the truth, because the truth of the resurrection leads to the truth that there is good reason to believe in God. Hallelujah. And here's what we believe as we come to our close. That because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, Jesus is the first fruits of those who are asleep. Amen? Chandler Church, not all of us are going to make it to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But if we hang on to Jesus Christ, all of us are going to make it in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen today? The resurrection bears witness that God has a plan and a purpose, that you're not following cunningly devised fables, and that all the promises in this book, they're going to come to fruition in the fullness of God's time. Ricardo, we're going to get Mom back. We're going to get her back. You hear me? We're going to get her back. We're going to get all those ones we lost and that we love. We're going to get them back. Amen? We got to do this, Chandler Church. We got to get them into the tank. Amen? We got to get them to believe in Jesus Christ and trust in His righteousness and His righteousness alone for salvation. Because Jesus Christ, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. He is our hope, He is our assurance, He is our comfort, He is our rock, He is our refuge. He is the King that we will worship from Sabbath to Sabbath in the New Jerusalem throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. In a world with no pain, no hurt, no heartache, no sorrow, no 2016 presidential election, just Jesus, Jesus leading us all. Can you say amen today?